And I've got to say thank you and good morning to all. Welcome to another episode of She Speaks right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, brought to you the proud sponsors of Quartz, Dermalogics, and our friends over at Bank of St. Lucia. I am proud to welcome my guest who joins us on the line. Boy, let me tell you, so many ways to introduce you. I'm not even sure. Mom, so much more. But most of all, Lucian. Good morning to our guest, Miss. Make sure I pronounce it right, Dania.
Yeah.
All right, Dania LaForce. She is. But for the duration of the interview, I feel more comfortable calling you Coach. That's all right.
Okay.
That's fine. Good morning to you. How are you doing? And thank you so much for agreeing to speak into us. I have so many questions. I'm super excited. I'm not even sure where I'm going to start, but I know for sure. The best way to always start is to allow you to introduce yourself to people who may not know who you are.
Yeah. Well, first, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you and the audience and, of course, my people. You know, it feels so good to be St. Lucian. You don't know. I mean, here up in the States, you just feel like there's a part of you, the piece of you that's different that nobody, you know, nobody can touch. Right. So I'm very excited to be here. Very excited to talk on your show. You know, I've been a lot of places, done a lot of things, but the one thing I'm very proud of is I am a mother of two fabulous, fabulous boys, Terrence Mann and Martin Mann. Terrence, as you guys may know, plays for the Los Angeles Clippers. He's just finished up his second season. He had a tremendous sophomore season. I'm so, so proud of him and his resiliency. And also Martin Mann. Martin is going to be a senior at Pace in White Plains, New York. He also is a basketball player. So I'm super excited to be mom first and foremost. Obviously, as you mentioned, I am a coach. I've been coaching women's basketball for almost 23 years.
Wow.
At different levels, Division One, Division Two, obviously college, and now professional in the WNBA with the Atlanta Dream. So I just have a lot of facets, a lot of things going on. I'm also co-founder of Mothers Against Racism, which is a nonprofit organization to eradicate racism from a mother's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think moms hold the key to really developing quality, well-minded, like-minded, you know, people who are obviously not biased towards race and really could do, you know, so many ways eradicate what's going on in this country. So I just wanted to give moms across the world a platform to discuss ways that they have raised their children and challenges in raising their children in today's America. So I'm a little bit of everything, but
that's good.
Right now, I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
That's good that you've just given us a basic synopsis of everything that we're going to touch on throughout the course of the interview. But let me ask you, let's talk about the St. Lucian heritage. Where originally are you from?
Oh, God. I was born in Mondidor.
Okay. Oh, Jean Mondidor. All right. And notice, and you know, the thing I like about it, when you say Mondidor, you didn't say Mondidor. You said Mondidor. Uh-huh. You said it proper, you.
And listen, my accent follows me everywhere I go. When I speak to people, they're more so listening to my accent than actually what I'm saying. So I'll go through a whole 5-minute spiel, and the next question I get is, where are you from? And I'm like, nah, did you not hear anything that I just said? Are you just really focusing on how I said it? So, yeah. So, obviously, born in St. Lucia, Mondidor. I think I left St. Lucia when I was about 4 or 5 to come to the United States. My mom was already here in the States, and she sent for me at that age. And, you know, that's how I ended up in New York.
What was it like moving from, you know, St. Lucia to Mondidor? What was the transition like for you? I mean, yes, you were 4, but what can you remember about that transition?
It was a little different. You know, I was very young. You know, I was very young, and at that time I was living with my grandmother on Mondidor, and also in a small house. You also have my aunts, their kids, a small house with about 7 of us, 8 of us in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I just grew up around family, you know, and then leaving my family, you know, who I knew at the time with my family, because I, at that age, I really didn't know my mother. I knew of my mother, but I didn't know her. So it was, for me, being young, it was pretty scary leaving my family to come to this strange place with someone who was pretty much a stranger to me at the time. But, you know, I just knew my mom was overseas, and my mom was the one who was sending barrels home full of candy and clothes. So I knew she was somebody I would like based on the presents and the gifts she was sending back to me as a child. So I was eager to meet my mother. And her and I just best friends, you know, we to this day, we talk every day. She really has molded me into the woman that I am. And our bond just, you know, is so strong. Just based on the fact that we were not together when I was first born. And, you know, she really, I mean, I'm her only child. So you can imagine how close we are and how strong our relationship is. But for me, you know, it was scary because I was young and I didn't know what I was coming to. I just knew I was going to America. And I just knew America was the place that had all the barrels and all the candy and all the clothes. So I was excited to go.
That's pretty amazing. Let's talk about your schooling over there and how you got involved, so heavily involved with basketball.
Yeah. Well, you know, basketball, I started playing basketball very late, considering the age that most American kids start playing basketball. I started in the eighth grade, and most kids start playing basketball maybe in the second grade. So it was pretty late for me. At the time, my mom wanted me to model. So I was doing some modeling gigs and working some runway shows. And my dad was the one who really influenced me to play basketball. My dad is Trevor Scholar. And my mom is Lucia LaForce. So I just want to tell you their names because y'all know they're listening.
Yeah, you know.
You didn't mention my name. Okay, so my dad is Trevor Scholar. And at the time, he was a big Georgetown Hoyer fan. So he would make me, at that age, watch a lot of Georgetown men's basketball team play. And, you know, I was approached to play basketball because I was the tallest girl in my Girl Scout troop. That's how I really was introduced. My coach came up to me at the end. She said, "You're pretty tall. Have you ever played basketball before?" And I said, "No, but I just knew basketball from watching my, you know, being with my dad watching Georgetown games." So I tried it out, went to play, had no idea about any facet of the game. Didn't know what defense was, didn't know what offense was. I couldn't shoot. I couldn't dribble. I was terrible, but I was tall. I was the tallest girl on the team. So I learned to play great defense. I learned to block shots and I just learned to be a presence in the paint. And that's what I liked about the game. So, you know, from there, I played a little bit in elementary school, my last 2 years of elementary school. Then I went on to high school and played basketball in high school for the same coach, actually, that I had played for elementary. Mm-hmm. And from high school, I was recruited to play basketball. I was recruited by UConn. I was recruited by Columbia. I was recruited by Providence and finally Georgetown. And, you know, I chose Georgetown not only for the academic reputation, but because I wanted to follow in Pat Ewing's footsteps.
Right.
You know,
right.
My dad's favorite team. And, you know, I just thought it was great for me to have the opportunity to not only receive a great education, but also to play for a team that my dad was so fond of and a team that I grew up watching.
Now, one thing that we understand about, you know, in the U.S. in sports, we understand that it is you live, you breathe, and you that's all you do, sports, and you still have to balance and maintain a GPA, specific GPA. How are you able to do that? And also, a two-part question, what did you study while at Georgetown?
I studied psychology at Georgetown. Oh, nice. And yeah, it was very difficult, but you know, they had a lot of assistance for athletes because they know our time commitment was, you know, we didn't have a lot of time like most students did. Obviously, we had practice, we had to travel for games, we had away games, we had home games. So, you know, the academic staff at the university really helps athletes maintain that balance between academics and athletics. You know, there was pre-planned study halls where we'd have to go and study as a group. That, you know, we had tutors if we needed it because we would miss a lot of classes because of team travel. You know, there was just a lot of assistance for us to make sure we were maintaining both our responsibilities as a student and as an athlete. So, you know, it was very, very, we were very, very fortunate to have that assistance and really have that guidance to really learn how to manage our time away from the court and really manage our time away from the university with our team travel. So, you know, it really helped us be better student athletes because we had assistance and guidance throughout.
Why psychology?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm a people person and I really like to, you know, motivate and really get to know people for who they are, meet them where they are and help them be better. And to be honest with you, I use my psychology degree every single day as a coach. You know, I use my psychology to coach them up. I use my psychology to get my athletes to believe in themselves. I use my psychology to get an idea of their background and understand how their background makes them the type of person and player that they are. I mean, and when you understand a athlete in the total package, you could coach them better. And, you know, they perform better for you because they know you're vested into them, not only as an athlete, but as a person. So it really helped me a lot in my coaching career. You know, I thought maybe I'd be a PhD. I do have my master's in school psychology from Long Island University. So I thought I may have gone that route and become a more of a school psychologist within the, you know, academic system. But, you know, basketball was my passion. As soon as I graduated Georgetown, I was coaching at Long Island University as a graduate assistant coach. So it's something that has been a part of me since the eighth grade, and has taken me a lot of places, and I've met a lot of great people. And, you know, my family's fortunate enough to have had basketball open a ton of doors and given us a lot of opportunities.
That's pretty amazing. And definitely the psychology degree paid off because you are a two-time coach of the year. So, you know, you're definitely representing. Let's talk about motherhood and the balance between sports and motherhood, because we know that sports demands a lot of you, especially as a coach, when you have to do all your X and O's and all that. So how were you able to balance it? And, you know, we also want to give people advice, especially career-driven women specifically. How are you able to balance that motherhood and also, you know, your regular career?
Yeah, well, just off the bat, I want to tell you it was tough. You know, it's really tough because as a coach, you're investing your time into 12 to 15 players, you know, more so than your time with your own children. And that's why basketball your team has to become a family, because you're spending so much time away from your own family that you want to be around people that you truly care about and, you know, truly want to invest in. And you hear coaches say that all the time. You know, my team is my family. You know, the young ladies that I've coached throughout my coaching career were like my daughters. Obviously, I have two sons, and they were all like my daughters to me, and I treated them that way. They embraced my children. My children were on most of the road trips. When they were younger, they were in the back of the bus hanging out with the girls. Terrence actually learned his numbers by memorizing the numbers of the jerseys on the jerseys of my team.
Wow.
You know, they went on recruiting trips with me when they were younger, because that's the only time I really had to spend quality time with them, was to bring them along. As a basketball coach, you're taking your work home with you. You know, you have scouting reports that you have to do. So I'm up late at night doing my scouting report, helping my kids with their homework. They're doing their homework, watching the scouting report, learning the game of basketball by watching me do my scouts. I mean, you really have to mesh both worlds. And I think if you are a mother and you're not in a profession where you have the opportunity to mesh both worlds, it really becomes very difficult to be successful at both. So, you know, I would encourage mothers to pick a career where you're working, understand that you are a mother and that's your first priority, and gives you an opportunity to have your kids become a part of who you are in terms of your career profession. And not a lot of women have that opportunity, and it makes it very, very difficult. But I was fortunate to be in a profession that really valued family and family values, not only on the court, but off the court. Most of the coaches that I worked for as an assistant, they had kids as well. So they understood the balance that was necessary to make me a better coach. You know, I had to be a great mother first and foremost. And they allowed my children to be around the team. They allowed my children to travel. You know, they allowed my children to be a big part of our program. And that's why I think both my boys play basketball to this day, because they were exposed to basketball at such a young age. But it's very, very important, like I said, as a mother, to be in a profession where you have that balance, and your career allows you to have a great balance. You don't want to be consumed by your career and obviously lose sight of being a great mother.
That's pretty amazing. And I guess it comes as no surprise that both your sons ended up playing basketball, and of course, most notably, your Terrence playing for the Los Angeles Clippers. What was that like when you heard that, or were you just expecting it?
Oh, no. We were not expecting it at all. You know, I've obviously, you know, I was the first coach for my children, and I was very critical of their game. You know, Terrence will tell you, I critique this game a lot. And, you know, I never, I mean, as a coach, you always are looking for not flaws, but weaknesses that you can strengthen in your players. Mm-hmm. So for Terrence, I was always looking for what he wasn't strong in and encouraging him to get better in those areas. So hearing that from your mom over and over and over, you know, you got to use your left hand on the left side of the floor. You've got to, you know, you got to make shots. You got to do this. You got to do that. I'm sure he became, you know, very tired of hearing my voice critique his game. So I wasn't sure at the level that he was capable of playing, especially professional. But I think, you know, his time at Florida State really impacted his game. You know, Terrence really saw the game through a coach's lens before his talent ever caught up with his basketball IQ. So once his talent caught up to his IQ at Florida State, I think that's when everyone in that program knew that he definitely would be a great NBA player. Obviously, I wasn't really a part of that because I was, you know, I had my own teams and I was in New York while he was in Florida. I only watched him play on TV. If I missed the game, I went back and I rewinded the game and watched him play. Then I would call him and tell him how I thought he did. And that's basically how our relationship just developed. You know, I always say basketball is our language of love for both my boys. And, you know, through teaching them the game and talking to them about how they played, we really bonded in so many ways. But to answer your question, I had no idea the level that he would get to, especially in the WNBA. I was hoping, praying. I knew his basketball IQ, his intangibles, the way he defended, the way he valued making the extra pass, the way he, you know, he was just such a great team player and he knew the game better than anyone. I mean, his IQ is through the roof. I knew that part of his game, he definitely could play at that level. I wasn't sure of his athletic ability and his talent, but I think he really developed that at Florida State.
That's pretty awesome. Let's talk about your social activism, specifically Mothers Against Racism. We had a bit of a synopsis before we went into the depth of the interview. How did that come about?
Well, it was the weekend of George Floyd's murder that really, and not only, you know, was I shook by what happened, but obviously the entire world was as well. And, you know, I had a moment of helplessness. You know, I had a moment of, you know, what can I do? You know, as a mother, what can I do to change the narrative? What can I do to make sure this doesn't happen against anyone's child? And, you know, it really pierced through my soul when I heard him call for his mother in such a desperate moment. A grown man is calling for his mother. Like, to me, that just sent a message to not only myself, but all mothers across the world. Our children just, you know, they want us to keep them safe. You know, from the moment they were born and we held them in our arms to them being grown, you know, 6-7 men, you know, they want their mothers. They need their mothers. And I felt a responsibility as a mother to do something to make sure this never happens again. So my co-founder and I spoke about what we can do. So we developed this nonprofit organization, Mothers Against Racism, where we simply have conversations about motherhood and about our responsibility to develop quality people that one day can be CEOs, officers, judges, whatever, but they have this understanding of equality. They have the understanding of diversity and they appreciate it. And I think it starts with us as mothers. We have got to have play dates for our children with people of different, you know, different cultures, different races. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to talk to our children about being inclusive and understanding, yes, you know, people are different, but we're all the same. We're all human. We should love each other. We are our children's first teachers of race. And I think we, you know, have to take more of that responsibility, like I said. So we just developed a platform where we could have conversations with mothers all across the world that are in different roles. We've had a judge on our show, Judge Christina Perez. We've had a mayor, the mayor of Gloucester. We've had a congresswoman, you know, that's right now in the U.S. Congress right now as a House of Representatives for Lowell, Massachusetts. So these are powerful women who still struggle with, you know, with racism, who still struggle with teaching their children or having their children watch what's happening in America. And despite who we are in our careers, we have one thing in common: we're mothers, and we want what's best for not only our children, but all the children in America. No mother should ever lose their child to police brutality. And I think we, in each of our roles, in terms of our career, there's something we can do. There's a platform we can stand on to shout out that enough is enough. And that's pretty much what it is. We want mothers across the world to understand that you hold the power to end in racism the way you raise your children in America.
That is well said, because racism is not necessarily something that you're born with. It's an action that you develop from just watching the surroundings and the people that are around you. So really nicely that you said, start taking the action right now and influence your children by allowing them to explore different cultures. Something that I think, especially around the world, that is really needed right now. So, and just that little bit of, I don't want to say brainwashing now, but just proper guidance now.
Awareness.
Yeah.
Just awareness that there are people that are different, but that doesn't make them inferior, embrace diversity.
What would be your ultimate goal for that organization? If you were to be super happy and said, I can retire and I can move on to something else.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we like what we're doing. We're kind of on a little bit of a hiatus right now, obviously, because I'm coaching in the WNBA, and it's hard to be consistent with our shows. But every Wednesday, we would have a show where we would just talk to mothers. We actually had police officers on our show that discussed what happened with the Chauvin case, as well as the results. But you could go back on YouTube, our YouTube channel, Mothers Against Racism, and watch our show. We even had Wanda Durant, Kevin Durant's mom. She was our first guest. And she talked about, raising Kevin and his brother and being, afraid for them when they were driving and worrying about their lives. She even talked about when she was younger, how, when she was growing up, how white teachers treated her as a black child in an all-white classroom. So I think these stories I'm hoping that these stories create some empathy throughout, if there is someone out there that may be a racist and doesn't understand how they're making other people feel. When you hear these stories, I'm hoping to emote some sort of, empathy and some sort of, and I think empathy and understanding other people, I think, is a way to really break the chain of racism. I just want those stories. I think there are about 12 different videos on there that we've done over the last year that just, from police officers to mayors to Wanda Durant to my story, to my co-founder's story. I just want those stories to be heard, because I think it will change some hearts and some minds of the people that hear it. And, that's what we've been so far. We've just been a platform for conversation and discussion. We haven't really thought beyond that, but we're hoping that that is probably the most important thing that's needed right now, discussion around race in America.
Kudos to you for that. It's much needed. I'm going to say a statement that might be a bit controversial. I don't think our racism in St. Lucia is as... It is there, but it's not as prevalent as in the U.S.
I agree completely. And the funny thing is, I think I have a different perspective on racism from an American black person, I grew up in a community where everyone was, black. I mean, we had classism, we may have colorism a little bit in the islands, but everyone's considered black. Mm-hmm. So I didn't grow up with racism as an antenna, Right. But where racism hit me was raising two black men in America. Mm-hmm. That's when I realized I need to be aware of how racism affects my children. Mm-hmm. It really didn't affect me because I didn't have an antenna for it. I just went about my business. I could have walked in a store and been profiled and didn't even know it, because I just didn't, I wasn't aware of racism. It wasn't generationally in my family. But when my children were driving age, when my children were seen as a threat and not as young men, young athletes, young, smart, young boys, that's when I needed to take note of how racism was affecting my kids and my family.
Very well said. We're almost out of time. We have 4 minutes left. So I would like you to just use this time to encourage young women, especially going through, your extensive CV, just to take this time out to just give some young women, some women in general, some advice on how to live their life.
Well, I've obviously been a part of a lot of teams at all different levels. Like I said, Division II was my first head coaching job, then Division I in college, and then now coaching the Atlanta Dream, the WNBA, where I'm dealing with, adults, women who are 27, 28-year-old and still value the value what the game of basketball brings in their lives. You know, it's an escape for some of them. It's an escape for a lot of people on what's going on in their personal lives. And you get to go to a place where you can excel at something. There's a family atmosphere. There's a lot of teamwork. There are a lot of things that are within the game of basketball that that transcend any part of your life, whether it's your career, whether it's your family, you know, teamwork, time management in your career, you know, an opportunity to have goals and to achieve those goals as a team. I mean, it's such a special game, such a special place to be. And I highly encourage, you know, mothers or families to push sports to your child, whether it's soccer, basketball, tennis, track, any sort of, you know, team or any sort of environment where they can feel success and they can learn wins and learn how to win and learn how to lose. I think the more you learn more from losing than you do from winning at times, you know, you learn to pick yourself back up and fight to carry on for the next game. And all those things are a microcosm of life. You know, you're going to have successes, you're going to have failures, but you have to pick yourself up and you have to rely on your team, your family to push through. So I highly encourage sports for young people. It's just so many things you can learn from the game, so many things you can learn from being a part of a team, so many things you can learn from being coached and hearing about your weaknesses and learning how to overcome your weaknesses. I just highly encourage sports to become a major part of a lot of kids. And I'm hoping, you know, I can be instrumental in San Lucia to bring in the game of basketball to a level where it's serious. You know, right now it's recreational and maybe a little bit, but you know, it should become more of a staple. It should become more of a professional opportunity and an opportunity to travel across the world. So I'm hoping to be a part of that moving forward for my island.
Very well said, because that was going to be my final question to you this morning. What are your plans on coming back home?
Yeah, well, you know, I would love to come back home and have a basketball camp and have clinics and really bring the fundamentals of the game to the children on the island. I think Terrence and I will be very instrumental in doing so in the future. We've had some conversations with some people about that. But, you know, I think we definitely have to be a lot more serious about the value sports play in the lives of young children and the opportunities that it awards them. And, you know, just meeting great people and traveling across the world. You know, we're here. You know, Terrence and I are here. We love our country. We love our culture. We love our music. We love our food. And, you know, we celebrate St. Lucia every single day in our lives here in America.
That's pretty amazing. And I know for sure that you love the music, because when we were on backstage and you're dancing, because this should have been Carnival Tuesday, respectively. So, yeah.
I know. Yeah.
So we try to enjoy as much as possible.
Coach, that's great.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. It was a very inspiring, you know, conversation, even for me as a parent. And I hope the focus of the program is to inspire women. But, you know, I get to sit in for my coworker, but I'm really inspired. And I want to thank you so much for this, and hopefully I could also get a chance to speak with Terrence and have him on my youth program, but I guess we'll speak about that on a different note. Thank you so much, and once again we want to thank you for taking this time out to speak to us right here on She Speaks.
Thank you.
She Speaks on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Dermalogic, Scores, and of course, Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.